You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, Beauty That Doesn't Ask to Be Seen. There's something small, really tiny, that I noticed about myself recently. In fact, I thought about it in the moment I was standing in the kitchen about to do the dishes, but I didn't put any rubber gloves on. In fact, I don't even have any in the kitchen. And the more I sat with this, the more I realized that for me, this realization wasn't small at all. That's because I grew up in a family of models. My mother was a top model in Japan in the late 60s and 70s especially. One of the first so-called half models, half American, half Japanese. She did major national ad campaigns. And then my eldest sister followed that path early and became a top model as well. Beauty was everywhere in my childhood. Admired, celebrated, obvious, and valued. But looking back, I realized beauty was also charged. Not necessarily because of my mother or my sister's intention, but because of how beauty functioned in the world around us. For modeling agencies, it was a commodity. For many men, it was something to consume. Before I had the language for it, I could just feel it in my surroundings. Beauty was held by the eyes, by the gaze. Something about that made me alert and guarded. By the time I was 14, I tried modeling too. In my teens, I worked on magazine shoots and TV commercials. In some ways, it was great. I learned how to work early. I had real-world experience. But I was also exposed, very young, to judgment that cuts quietly. Every single little zit on my face, hair slightly out of place, or my choice of clothes that was seen as mistaken. None of it was neutral. I don't think it was supposed to be personal criticism, and perhaps more often than not, it was framed as something professionally wrong. But that was a hard thing for a young girl to separate from her sense of worth. That's why I don't think that my exposure to that whole world added to my self-worth. In fact, I know it subtracted from it. And that's an important distinction for me. I became careful, vigilant. I took care of my skin, my nails, my appearance like it was the commodity I was supposed to treat it as. In fact, when I was 16 to 18, I think I wore more makeup than any other time of my life, which is pretty ridiculous if you think about it. Even into my 20s, I remember this small habit. Whenever I did the dishes, I wore rubber gloves. Always, because I thought it best to protect my hands, my skin, my nails. And here's the thing. I couldn't care less anymore. I just don't do that anymore. And it's not because I stopped caring for myself, but because something in me shifted. Through yoga, meditation, and years of practice, I began to understand attention, where it goes and how it shapes our experience. I think of it like this, like a single lens reflex camera. When you zoom in or zoom out, you have to pause and adjust the lens so the image comes into focus. Otherwise, everything is slightly off. So at some point, I realized that my focus had been too narrowly trained on a particular form of external beauty that was designed not necessarily to serve me, but somehow the world and culture. More importantly, I realized that that way of focusing didn't feel good for me, and it sure as hell didn't align with who I was becoming. So I had to learn to adjust the lens. When I think of beauty now, the kind that truly moves me and stays in my system, it's like a type of joy, a delicious flavor to that kind of beauty. It quenches my thirst in a very soulful way. It's different from the kind of beauty that I was taught in my childhood. Now, I think of nature. I think of the sun, the moon, the stars, and soulful moments. I think of this Japanese word, shigusa, which is like so yummy and it's so delicately difficult to translate, but it refers to these subtle gestures that reveal a person's way of being. There isn't quite a perfect English word for it, but if you might think of some of your close friends or your favorite people and they have a particular way that they tilt their neck or use their fingers, that's shigusa. Those are the moments where I see beauty that I just can't miss. I think of people like Jane Goodall, whose devotion never wavered. When I think of Audrey Hepburn, I don't first picture the iconic black and white portraits of her youth. I think of her later years, her deeply carved face, her wrinkles, the dignity with which she moved through humanitarian work, meeting the world without needing to impress it. When I think of Angelina Jolie, I don't think of movie posters. I think of her kneeling down, meeting the eyes of a refugee child or a mother in need. That moment of presence, that meeting in truth. And that's the kind of beauty that makes me pause. It takes my breath away. So I had this kind of slow kizuki that snuck up on me, that I realized at some point I stopped living for this type of gaze that you're supposed to earn from the world or from others. And I chose actively to start living for presence. And I don't mean by any means to judge anyone who still wears gloves to protect their nails or anything like that. There's no right way to live. It's just a matter of priorities, right? And for me, I know that my priority has changed. It's no longer about being seen. It's about seeing, meeting someone's gaze without desire, without performance, without defense, just purely in presence. So I'll leave you with this. What is beauty to you now? And are you aligned to it? Where is your attention resting? Is it time to adjust your lens? Have you admitted, even quietly, that the kind of beauty you once served might not make sense for you anymore? Maybe, just maybe, it's time to adjust. thank you for listening. If you'd like to go a little deeper, I'd love to invite you to the next online live session of Kizuki Journaling. It's happening on January 26th in North America and January 27th in Japan, Australia, and this side of the world. Replays are available if you can't join us live. The theme for this session is Your Unnamed Essence, an exploration of the self beneath identity, roles, and stories. You can find all the details at maey.live under sessions. I'd love to have you with me for this beautiful, meaningful reflection.